Good morning. That was terrible. At 9 o'clock, it was so loud, I was startled just a little bit. So let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
That was okay. Anyway, I'm Rusty, pastor here at New Hope, and whether you're on campus or online or later in the week on demand, I'm glad we can be together. If there's anything that we can help you with, just let us know. There are all kind of tools with the app or with the website. But then here, if you're first time here, if you go out to guest services, we have all kind of information and stuff. But they also have a gift bag. And if you'll just be patient with the gift bag, at the very bottom is chocolate. So you might do whatever you want, but only take one. Well, you can have two bags. You can tell them you're allowed to have two bags because chocolate's actually really good. I'll tell you a quick story that happened last week. Someone came in. I was at the guest services desk, and they said they had some chocolate that was getting ready to expire. I thought they meant like they had a box of Hershey bars. It wasn't that. They delivered them Monday. In my office right now, I have 200 pounds of chocolate. It's the kind of chocolate that you melt and it goes in those fountain things where you dip, whatever you dip in them. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I mean, we could actually have a baptism in chocolate, which we could do that. No, we probably won't. That health code. But anyway, but the bag you're getting has got fresh chocolate in it, so check it out. And any way we can help, we're glad to. We've been doing a series the last several weeks, and I would say that this particular message that wraps it up is the most important of all of them. We've been looking at this idea of what does faith in real life look like? I mean, it's easy to, you know, we can have slogans and coffee cups and t-shirts. We have all kind of statements that we make about faith and all that. But like when you leave here today and you go home, you go to a restaurant, some of you are going to are on vacation, some of you are going to be going, what does it really look like to have faith in Jesus right where you live? At work, when you're making decisions with your finances, what is it like? And faith that is real is not simple. There's nothing set it and forget it about it. It's not like some people are born with it and other people don't have it. This idea of faith, the word just means trust. What does it mean to trust God in the big things and the little things? So we've been addressing that. Last week, for instance, we looked at this idea of peace. Jesus said he wants us to have peace, but it's not peaceful circumstances. It's peace regardless of our circumstances. Is that even possible, or is that just those are people that are, you know, they're taking CBD oil or whatever the latest thing is to make me feel peaceful? You know, what does it look like? Does this faith thing really work? And so this week we're gonna wrap it up with probably the key ingredient to having a faith that actually works in the real world, and that's this idea of humility. Now, the moment I said that, some of you have already checked me out. You're thinking, how can I get my phone? I'm going to keep it below the seat back in front of me because I don't want to hear about this. The moment we hear the word humble, most of us we just don't like it. I'll give you two definitions. This is from Oxford Dictionary. It says, humble, having a low estimate of one's importance. That is about as anti-American as we can get. I'm not going to have a low estimate. I'm very important. A low estimate of one's importance, worthiness, or merits. Merriam-Webster says, not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive. Not assertive. If I'm not assertive, who's going to advocate for me? And we have these ideas that humility, my guess is most of us are kind of like this. We like it when people are humble toward us. Like if you go out to eat today, you like the wait staff and everybody there to be humble towards you. Like if you say, I wanted my hamburger extra rare and you've turned it into a briquette, you'd like them to say, oh, what can we do to make that right? I'm going to give you a lifetime supply of hamburgers because you're so wonderful. We like it when people are humble toward us. And we appreciate it. What I think changes is while we appreciate the idea of humility toward us, very few of us aspire to be humble. I mean, maybe so. You may be different than me. Maybe you woke up this morning and said, God, help me to be humble. And just give me opportunity after opportunity to become humble. I don't hear many of those prayers. I don't think God hears many of them from me. I'm working on it. But this humility thing, throughout history, it's been looked at as something that's, it's just not a wonderful thing. And we'll dig into some of this. But, you know, this idea of being not assertive for myself or not advocating for myself, throughout history, from Aristotle and Plato on, it was like humility was looked at, if you're humble, there's a little something wrong with you. Because it was not seen as a virtue. And then Jesus comes along. And the Christian faith comes along, and they start taking Jesus' teachings, and they take the word that's used for humility, and they've turned it into a not just a virtue, but something to aspire to. And the idea behind humility in the Christian view is that there is a great creator God who is awesome, he's holy, he's perfect, he's got all the omnis, he's omnipowerful, he's omnipresent, he's remarkable, and I'm not. And I need what only he can give me. Sure, there's beauty in me because I was created in his image, but I'm broken too, and I need what only he can give me. And so humility means I see God as he really is, and I come to him as he really is, asking for the help that he's offered through Jesus. So humility, from the Christian view, is a virtue. It's an important kind of attitude that is indispensable to having faith that works in real life. So the statement here is this: humility is required to have an authentic relationship with God. It is also necessary for building deep friendships and having a positive influence on others long term. So this humility thing is important. And in our country, humility is looked at just like the ancient philosophers did. Man, who wants that? I mean, we are surrounded by an environment that tells me I need to promote myself. I need to promote my own brand. That I need to advocate for myself, and it doesn't matter who I have to go over to do it. Some of you are taught this in school. You're taught that you've got to be the one that advocates for yourself. And part of that goes along with other trends in our country where belief in God is much lower than it's been in a long time. The idea that there's a creator God that is benevolent toward us and offers us what we desperately need. And while belief in God has waned, belief in myself as the ultimate arbiter has increased. And so that's kind of where we are as a culture. And I'm going to take a hit for part of it. I think that the church, and particularly my profession, have made that plausible. I don't know how many, I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't see something in the paper or on the news where someone in my profession has abused, misused God's name, taken advantage of people, where the church has become, rather than God's body, it's become politicized so that whatever agenda somebody has, they can use it to promote that. And we've kind of missed, who do we represent? So I do get that, but I also think there's a genuine misunderstanding of what humility really is. Humility, choosing to think and act humbly, it's not demanding or it's not demeaning, it's not devaluating, it's not debasing myself. What it is, it's elevating God and the value of others around me. That's what true humility is. I want to give you definitions from two people that I've had a lot of respect for over the years. One is Rick Warren, who was the pastor of Saddleback Church, and then the other, C.S. Lewis. Rick Warren said this, he had it in his Purpose-Driven Life. He says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. It's this idea that thinking more about others than about me. C.S. Lewis, in a book, Mere Christianity, which is a phenomenal book, C.S. Lewis was one of these really brainiac kind of people. He taught at Oxford and knew all kind of medieval literature. He's the one that wrote the Chronicles of Narnia and all that. He did that after he became a follower. He had been a confirmed atheist, and then the evidence for the Christian faith was so overwhelming for him that he ended up making a commitment to Christ. And this is what he says in Mere Christianity about humility. He goes, do not imagine that if you meet a really humble person, that he will be what most people call humble nowadays. And this is written in the 40s. It's exactly the same way today. He goes, he will not be, and I love this, a sort of greasy, smarmy person who is always telling you that, of course, he's a nobody. And you're around people like this. I know I am. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm hideous. I'm worthless. And they're doing that because they want you to say how wonderful they are, and you're going to be their cheering squad. There's no humility about that. It's still self-focused. He goes, probably all you'll think about someone that is genuinely humble is that they seem to be cheerful, intellectual, took a real interest in what you said to them. When's the last time you were telling a story to somebody? You're telling them a story, something happened, and they go, oh, tell me more. Usually what happens, at least in the circles I run with, which could be tainted, is you're telling a story, and then the persons that you're talking to are waiting for you to take a breath so they can one-up your story. Oh, no, it was terrible for me. It was even worse. And after a while, we're all living in outer space, and we've done these remarkable things. Because it's not humble, is it? He says, what you'll think about the really humble person is they're cheerful, intelligent. They take a real interest in what you said to them. If you dislike this humble person, it'll be because you feel a little bit envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. Humility is where I have a right view of who I am in God's presence. And from that, I've elevated God, and now I'm elevating you because he's asked me to do that. It's not that difficult, but it's rare. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, it was a great breakfast until they ran out of bacon, and I've talked to Robin about this. It's the first time that's ever happened. There was yogurt left over, duh, but there wasn't any bacon left over, and so we've offered a rebate to a few guys. But anyway, so after the bacon fiasco, Mario Colorado got up and told his story, how he had become a follower. He told his life prior to that and afterwards, and Mario's story was, it was truly humble. Sometimes people will tell you about how bad they were because they're wanting to get a reputation.
Oh, you were really bad.
That's not what Mario did at all. He was telling his story because he was describing a life that was lived apart from God and what drew him to understand his real need for a relationship with Christ. Same facts could have been presented all different kinds of ways, but he did it in a way that was humble and compelling. And I really appreciated his honesty and his humility in doing it. You're going to hear another story here later in the message. But I want us to look at how humility works. So I've taken a passage from one of the letters in the New Testament, and we're just going to take it apart for a few minutes together. This is 1 Peter 5. It says, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. And it says, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. That last sentence is important because I think a lot of times the reason people choose a path opposite of humility is because if I don't care for me, nobody will. If I don't advocate for me, I'm going to be lost because I don't trust people. And so you move into this mentality of it's all about me first. If I have anything left over, sure, I can give that to somebody else, but I am my best advocate. Watch me work. So let's just see what this passage is saying to any one of us. This could be someone that's, we've been a follower of Jesus a long time, or you may be wondering about it, and I think this will answer some of the questions. First thing about humility is that thinking and acting humbly is my choice. Have you ever been around people that just seem like they were naturally humble? They aren't. They might be naturally mousy. They might just be quiet. They might be genuinely interested, but humility is a choice that I make. It's not something that just happens automatically. Listen to what it says. It says, and all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. It's a choice. Like, I don't see any of you here that aren't dressed. I don't want to see anyone that's not, but I'm looking out and I don't see anyone here that's not dressed. Well, you got up this morning and you made a choice. I'm going to wear clothes. Thank you, but almost all of us made that choice. And then you decided, well, what am I going to wear? Most of us gravitate toward comfort, especially with the way things have happened in the last few years. Comfort is king. Some of you that are watching from home are real comfortable. You would not wear what you're wearing now here. Hopefully you are wearing something, but that's between you and you. But we pick clothes for either the comfort. It might be that they're clean, although a lot of times comfort kind of trumps clean. Some of us, we chose clothes because we wanted to impress others. We wanted to come off a certain way. We wanted to wear our best outfits rather than something that made us look frumpy. Is that a word, frumpy? Whatever it is, chunky, clumpy. Oh, I don't care what it is. Some of us like to wear clothes that is going to impress others because of who we are advertising. It could be, and isn't it funny? This is completely free, but we pay more for clothing to advertise a certain brand than if we just got plain clothing. Shouldn't they pay me something to advertise for them? Like Nike owes me a lot of money, I think. But then again, I've still got a lot of Nike stuff. But we'll wear clothes that have slogans on them, or for a team that we like, or a town, or something else like that. So we pick our clothing, we're deliberate about it. And it's saying here that I need, just like I choose my clothing, I need to choose my attitude. And all of us choose attitudes. And you're like, well, that humble thing, that's not an attitude I can choose. I can't be humble. You're as great as I am. How can you be humble? But we do it all the time. Some of you are on vacation right now. Some of you have been on vacation. You're going to. And you have young kids. What do you tell your kids? Oh, just be yourself. No. When you get around Aunt Edna, this is how you need to act. No biting, no pushing, no screaming, no cussing. Be nice. Be humble. If it was impossible for them to choose that, why would you ask them to? And you're saying, well, they're kids. Adults can do it too. You have a job interview. You put on your best attitude for that job interview. You don't go in there and arrogantly brag about how wonderful you are. That would not get you the job. You do that after they hire you. First dates. First dates are perfect for this. I want to give a good impression. I don't want to know what I'm really like. I'm going to fake it. I'm going to put on a different attitude. But you get my point. All right, we choose the attitude we have. We need to start choosing carefully. Followers of Jesus understand that God has a standard for us. And he wants us to choose to be humble, to adopt that mindset just like we would as we pick up clothes. And we do it to honor him. Whenever I would go see my mom and dad, I had a certain clothes I would take with me. These were they're work clothes, but specifically they were for crawling under the house. My son never understood, what was I doing under the house? But I'd get to the house and Dad'd say, would you get under the house and check it out? And I didn't realize that for a kid, that was weird. Like, what's happening under there? Is there another family living there? And there were families of certain things living there, but I would show up at Mom and Dad's house, I'd put on my workout clothes, or under the house clothes, and I'd crawl under there. I did it all the time. I'd ask them before I go, I'd say, can you get me a list of chores to do? All the chores are dirty, by the way. And I'd take my bag with the clothes. It's kind of the way humility is. I'm going to put on humility because that's what my father's asked me to do. In my case, I could spend lifetimes trying to repay my parents for the crap I put them through. I put them through so much, and for me to go and put on dirty clothes and crawl under the house looking for whatever happens under there, that was an easy thing to do because they deserved my respect and they had earned it. I wonder how many times we forget that God deserves our respect, and he sure earned it. Is putting on humility is how we do it. Choice has significant consequences. We're not forced to do anything. You and I can choose any attitude, any mindset, any worldview we want to. What we can't do, though, is choose the consequences of our choice. Our choices always have consequences. I can decide to be prideful and arrogant, but there will be consequences ultimately that go along with that. Just like if I choose humility, there'll be good consequences with it. Listen to what it says here, and this should cause us all just to stop and think. It says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God is in opposition to prideful thinking and behavior, and he can't wait to show grace to those that are humble. It's sobering. In fact, when I was writing this, I was thinking about it yesterday. I was driving somewhere, and I realized the word sobering is perfect. I have tons of friends that are in 12-step programs, Celebrate Recovery, Alcoholics Anonymous, NA, all the different groups. And the 12 steps came from a guy named Bill Wilson. He was a raging alcoholic, and he was trying to put his life together. He had made a train wreck of it. And one of the things that happened is someone introduced him to the New Testament book of James. It was this letter. And that's another, this particular verse, God is opposed to proud, gives grace to humble, is quoted throughout the Bible, and James does in chapter 5. And it was life-shaping for him. In fact, most of my friends, you talk to your friends from AA, and you'll hear them say things like this. Well, one of the things I've discovered, there is a God, and it's not me. Everybody needs to learn that one. Bill Wilson did. In fact, when he was putting this group together, that this 12-step group, they had two names they were thinking about, Alcoholics Anonymous or the James Club, because of the book of James. They chose AA. It's not bad. Understand it. But you need to know where the principles came from. And most of my friends that are in some kind of recovery have come to a point of humbly recognizing they needed help outside of themselves. That's the model for every one of us. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I can choose a self-centered life where it's all about me, but there will be consequences that go along with that. And if I choose humility before God, I can guarantee too that my Creator and my Savior will give me grace, He'll give me power, He'll give me everything I need to walk through this life well. I want you to see another story. This week at our camp, Camp Wattakid, one of our camp counselors told her testimony, told her story, how she came to faith. Izzy's been part of our camp since she was around third grade. She went from being a camper to becoming what we call counselors in training. That's like junior counselors, and now she's one of our lead staff. And it's powerful to hear her tell her story. Now, she's speaking to a group of elementary kids in our camp, plus all the other camp staff. And I want you to hear the humility that she has, how she got to that point, and what God's been doing in her life.
I first came to New Hope through the Camp Wattakid summer program. I came when I was in, I think, third or fourth grade, and that's what led me to becoming a now employee here at Camp Wattakid and now wanting to further my relationship with God at New Hope. My favorite thing when I was a camper was definitely Shake and Wake, because that was the moment where we got to dance. I know that's kind of a cheesy answer, but we got to dance to the songs that praised Him. And even like Thinking Thursday was always a great time because you were able to reflect, and I did really enjoy that. And I feel like Thinking Thursday is definitely where I started thinking like, this is kind of the path I want to go. I started working at Camp Wattakid in 2017. I started off as a CIT. The reason I loved it so much was because of the relationships that I was building with God and with my friends. I have still two of my very best friends that work here with me, and they've definitely influenced me for the best. All of my campers I've had throughout all of the years, even some of them being CITs now, is really weird to me, but they've influenced my life so much. They made it so much better for me to be doing this here and just following my path with God even here. I've been hurt a lot by my relationships, mainly, you know, the like relationships. And it just has always made me feel weak. And I don't feel weak anymore when I turn to God, because during high school especially, I turned away from God and I went the opposite path. It was like I was running toward, like, away from Him and not towards Him where I should have been. And it made me just go down a deeper, deeper hill that was just a spiral for me. And it made me look at people like they were God, make them seem like they were more than they were when they're just a guy. I really let myself go a lot in my relationships. I never stuck true to who I was. I changed for them, even though I didn't like it. And now I feel like with God, because He loves me so much, that I should love me too. I think it was really, truly my freshman year of college. I felt alone, mainly, when I was dealing with my other personal stuff. I felt alone, I was scared, I felt like my world was literally ending. And I didn't know what else to do, so I kind of just took a shot at it. I was like, maybe this is for me, maybe He does love me, maybe He'll forgive me for my sins, maybe He'll be there for me, even though I've done so much wrong by Him. And I started that my second semester of my freshman year, and it completely changed my life. My aha moment was when I was at home for winter break, my freshman year of college, and I was just sitting there, and I felt just so incredibly bad about, like, myself and everything that I've done the first semester. And I just was like, kind of, I don't want to say like disgusted with myself, but I was just like, this is awful. Like, it's just thinking about how much I've wanted to change and how I was scared to take that step towards God, but then finally having the courage to do it over, like, the end of winter break, and, like, fully just quitting all of my bad habits and becoming the person that I wanted to be. The journey was hard, for sure. It took me a while to fully accept the change and not run from Him, because I would get scared and try to go back to my old habits. And I just took the courage step and literally got rid of everything in my life that was turning me away from Him. And it definitely took a lot out of me. I felt sad, and, like, it was like I didn't even feel like a person at this point, because everything that I was now I'm changing. So it was definitely hard to transition, but now that I have, I don't think I'd ever go back. I definitely think one of the best things that you can do is take what you learn and bring it with you. Take it with you. Try to apply it to your life. I never really did that before when I was a camper, but I find myself today comparing everything to my life. Today, in was Thinking Thursday, we did, like, how God rescues us, or He never gives up on us. And I'm so thankful that He never gave up on me. And maybe I am a little later to the journey, but I'm so happy that I did find my way. And I think you guys should try to look into it, being so young. I don't regret the things that I went through in high school to get me where I am today. I feel like it's made me have a closer relationship with Him, knowing that He was always there for me, even when I turned my back on Him. So my advice to you, the campers, is that try to start your relationship as early as possible and just stay looking at Him. He's never gonna do you wrong. He will always lead you toward the light. My name is Izzy, and I'm getting baptized today because Jesus is the Lord of my life.
That's a great story. And all the kids in camp this week got to hear it. They know Izzy. There's a humility about it. There's an honesty about it. There's no arrogance coming from it. It's a, here's what I've learned. And it's discovered it's really discovered by, instead of running away from, but running to, a God that is remarkably kind. He's powerful, but he's good, and he can't wait to do good for you and me. And I'll just say this too. There may be some of you that are trying to figure out this relationship with Jesus, and we'd be glad to talk to you. We'll help in any way we can. No one's going to try to force anything, but between Izzy and Mario's stories this past weekend, it's just been a reminder to me just how good God is and how he doesn't give up on us. Let me close with this, is that if you and I choose to live humbly, God promises that it will be worth it. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. All your cares and worries. I didn't realize it again until early this morning that I had a perfect illustration of this. I mentioned that I have my climbing under the house clothes. One Saturday, the family drove down to Richmond, going to help Mom and Dad out. I walked in, had my bag, I'm going to go change clothes. And Mom met me at the front door and said, "Don't change your clothes. We have a surprise for you." And I'm not kidding. The first thing I thought, Mom's pregnant? That's... And it wasn't that. They said, "We want you to finally have a decent set of golf clubs. We made an appointment for you to see the golf pro. We're going to get you fitted for real clubs." I'd always had the cheapest clubs you could buy on eBay. I was not expecting it at all. I didn't deserve it. It was just one of these surprises. And I'll tell you, I've been a follower of Jesus now over half my life. God will surprise us along the way if we choose to follow him with our whole heart. Does that mean I'm going to follow because I'm going to get a lot of good stuff? No. Humility is not looking for what I get. It's looking to elevate God and to honor him and to help others live, for me to live in such a way that others might see something about him through me that would cause them to want to know him too. That humble road, you're not going to always have great things to post. You may not be celebrated as a huge influencer, but you will be honored because that's what God promises his kids. There's no way around it. If you want a real faith, one that really works in this real life, humility is the starting point. I am now going to put on my pastor hat for just a moment. Some of you are really going to pick up your phones now, but just I hope you'll hear me out. So how do you apply this in your life? We have two simple ways here at New Hope. One is we have our 5-minute rule, the 5 minutes right before the service and 5 minutes right after. Go after somebody you don't know and introduce yourself. Help them find the bathroom's Coke or coffee or something, but don't let it be about you. And somebody says, "Well, I'm embarrassed. I don't remember their name. I should." Okay, get over yourself. Just say, "Hi, we may have met before. I'm not sure. I'm Rusty. How are you doing?" And just get to know somebody. I've had a number of people recently that have done that, and they have been utterly surprised that it actually worked. They made someone feel comfortable. It wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be. But we're called to live for the benefit of others. So here's my second one. Since the pandemic, we've regularly been growing. I mean, right now we got a lot of people on vacation, but we've been growing. We have all kind of areas of need. We put out the word, and we've had a number of people respond. Count me in the volunteer. Volunteering here means once, maybe twice a month. We've also had a ton of people not volunteer. They hear the request, and they move on. And I've heard some of the reasons. Here's some of the reasons. "Well, I'm really busy on weekends," as if the rest of us aren't. "Oh, I'm bored. I'm just looking for something to do." Yeah, that's weird. Another one is, "I like to keep my options open." Well, you're the only one that does. Everybody else likes to have absolutely no choice in the matter of how they build their calendar. And here's one. I love this one. "I work hard during the week. I deserve a break." All right. Yay you. This is real life. We live in a large metropolitan area where there's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of stuff going on. We're busy. We have a lot going on. But a humble approach would not necessarily say, I'm going to say yes to every opportunity comes. A humble approach toward God might be something like this. God, I hear about these needs. Is there something you want me to do in response? It's just a simple prayer. God, is there something you want me to do in response to the need? Another would be, God, is there something you want me to do to help so that others don't have to carry too big of a load, but I could come along and support them? Those are two approaches where humility is the driving attitude. Most of the time, I'm afraid what we tend to do is it's, what about me first? If I have anything left over, maybe I'll consider others. And if you're feeling guilty or ashamed right now, that's not coming from me. That's not my goal, but I'm just trying to say, here are some practical ways we can live this out. In other words, let's dress ourselves with humility and see where that leads. Can you imagine, and I'll close with this, can you imagine if all of us did that? Here's what would happen. Two things would happen in our church. If all of us said, God, is there something here you want me to respond to? What can I do? We would have a wait list for every one of our ministry teams. You couldn't get in. You would have to wait until someone cycled off. Second thing that would happen, we would triple our general operating budget if everyone gave in a humble way. But this is not, this is against the grain culturally. Followers of Jesus, we don't get our marching orders from our culture. We get them from the one that has rescued us and saved us. Let's live like it. When you leave today, there's a take-home sheet. You can get outside either the doors, and if you're online, you can get it. You can download it from our app or our website, and it'll help you go a little deeper with this, and I hope all of us will, starting with me. Am I willing to clothe myself? Will I dress with humility and see what God has for me to do? Let's pray together. God, it's absolutely amazing that you pursue us. Just hearing Izzy talk about how she had run from you, yet you hadn't given up on her. She had consequences to her choices, just like we all do, but you always leave the door open if we will turn and humbly come to you, recognizing that you have what we need, and trusting that you will give us what is good and right and true. For anyone here that doesn't yet know you, I pray that the picture they get of you here today, where there's a God that is real and powerful and put in motion all of the universe and sustains it, and yet he's still approachable. He's ready to forgive and to restore. And Father, for all of us here, those of us that know you, help us to live like we do. Help us to live with this, dressing ourselves with humility so others would see something in us that would compel them to want to know about the one that is the leading force in our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.